Welcome back to Foundation Part 2 in our brand new You series. I'm really excited to have you back. I hope you have had a wonderful week and a wonderful exploration since we went through the values exercise last time. And I trust that with that came a lot of insights, a lot of aha moments, perhaps clearing some more stuff that was left over from excavation of what no longer belongs to you, to your brand, to your experience. So here we are, right? This is really exciting. Foundation 2, we are going to start rolling up our sleeves now and start crafting something that now has anchor and legs, right? So now we've got kind of our root, our foundation. It's clean, it's clear. And now we need to start building the house, right? Now is what kind of house do we want to build? What does it look like? What types of qualities? What types of decoration, right? Where are we putting the house? Right? So this is going to start feeling now as we're moving from the inside out, right? We're going to start breaking that barrier of the internal work and start really morphing it into more language, tangible words, phrases, experiences that we can identify and incorporate into the story that is the essence of your brand. So I'm super excited about today. This is truly where the rubber hits the road. So before we begin, as always, let's take a couple of minutes. So drop whatever you're holding, put your cup of tea down, your pen, your pad of paper, your journal. Just gently close your eyes with me today. Feel your feet on the floor. Just take a roll of your neck and your shoulders. Maybe stretch up a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. Just release any tension that's just blocked up in our ears, our neck, our shoulders, the top of our head. Just take a couple of those deep cleansing breaths. And what I'd like to lead you into today is a visualization. So a little different than the normal centering that we've been doing. So get comfy. If it's helpful and you start losing track of your breath and your mind starts wandering, just put your hands on your belly or one on your belly, one on your heart, just to remind yourself, I'm here, I'm breathing, I'm alive. It's a really good reality check when that brain wanders. And if a thought pops in, it's okay. Don't judge it. Don't be mad. You're not terrible at this, right? Just let it pass in and out. One of the tips that one of my mindfulness teachers taught me was when you see that distracting thought, or when you're thinking the distracting thought, rather, just put a name on it, label it as if it's going through the factory of your mind and you just need to put a stamp on it before it gets to the next part of the assembly line. So let's say as you're hearing me speak right now, you're thinking about, oh gosh, I have to get ready for dinner in about half an hour. Just label that dinner. And allow your brain to just see dinner, and it passes through the assembly line of your mind, and it's now out the other way. And then let's see, you remembered, oh shoot, I forgot to feed the dog. So just label that dog, let it move on. It's an amazing technique, and I cannot tell you how much it has helped me quiet my ever-processing mind. And I'm sure I'm in good company with you. So practice that technique as we're going through this visualization. If you have a hard time and you find yourself distracted, don't worry. Either kind of put your hands physically on your heart so you can feel yourself breathing, or just start labeling the thoughts as they pass. And you're going to notice that the space between thoughts is going to get greater and greater. So a couple of deep breaths, and then just breathe normally. Close your eyes. Breathe into any tension, send some light and love and tension into any part of your body that's not feeling so great right now. And I want you to start imagining yourself 5 years from now. Doesn't matter so much what you look like or where you are. Just imagine this older, wiser, this more complete version of you. And I want you as yourself today, walk towards that older, wiser version of you. That you might be sitting, standing, on a beach somewhere, in a park somewhere, wherever your mind took you naturally, just go with it. The environment doesn't matter. Create your own space, someplace that makes you feel peaceful, calm, content. And I want you to ask yourself in your mind and ask that older, wiser, higher self, what do I need to know? What piece of advice or nugget of wisdom do I need to know today? You've already become the bigger, bolder version of yourself, right? This just allows you a moment of communion with that person who's already made it, that person who's already achieved, that person who's already gone through the ringer and made it through the other side, and either landed the job, found the relationship, moved to the place, right? That person's there. So I want you to just ask, what do I need to know? You might listen for an answer. You might feel an answer. It doesn't matter. I'm not attached to an actual answer. It's more the knowingness that there's a part of you that already knows. That's the part we want to start accessing when we think about a brand. That higher wisdom, the more intuitive version of you that knows. It doesn't know why it knows what it knows, but it knows on a much deeper level. Perhaps you want to ask that version of you, who do I need to be? Who do you want me to be? Right? Is there an energy that you want to embody today to make a fast track to that 5-year older version of you? Perhaps it's embodying more peace, perhaps more simplicity, more joy. For some of you, perhaps more urgency, more diligence. Just sit with whatever comes. Sometimes people see shapes, colors, they hear a word intuitively, just this feeling pops up. Keep breathing. Keep relaxing your body. Put a gentle smile on your face, just a slight curve of your lips. And just feel that peace, just that knowingness that everything's going to be okay. It's already figured out, right? This version of you already knows, and everything is fine. And he or she is happy and complete and has arrived at that milestone. And he or she is probably working on the next milestone. And that's okay. But knowing that you are okay, you have always been okay, you have always figured it out, right? That's the energy that we want to bring forth into how we start expressing our brand and what we stand for and who we are out into the world. So gently thank that version of you. It could be a hug, it could be a smile, a gesture. And just start walking back. Just walk back in the other direction, back to yourself, back to today, back across the park, or back away from the water, wherever your scene has taken you. And just know that the wisdom that you feel intuitively, the work that you've been doing on a much deeper subconscious level throughout this program, it has taken roots. You have planted seeds, and now we're just watering it, giving it love, attention, time, energy, so that it manifests and attracts for you exactly what you want. Exactly the type of leader that you want to be in your world, at your firm. Right? This is unconventional leadership. What we're talking about is truly leadership development for those who are willing and open to see a little bit of a deeper way of living, thinking, acting, behaving, believing. You've arrived. So take a couple more deep breaths in that space. Just calm, peaceful, content, maybe happy, a gentle smile on your face. Start wiggling some fingers and toes. And when you're ready, just gently open your eyes. Grab your things again. Just bring yourself back into the room. And maybe just quickly jot down any reflections that came into your mind or that you felt in your body that are relevant that you want to capture. Okay, so with that intention and with that wisdom that we just got from our future self, essentially, with that sage advice that is somehow processing itself, right? Might hit you in the shower tomorrow morning or in a couple weeks from now when you're out in nature, right? So just allow it. Just invite it to come in. It'll come in whatever way, shape, or form it's meant to. So with that, let's start building our house. Okay, so one of the non-negotiables after we've defined our non-negotiables is going to be our strengths. All right, I do a lot of work around strengths in the leadership development space. It's not just because, wow, isn't it nice to talk about our strengths versus our weaknesses? It's because strengths are becoming more and more a key differentiator for high performers and for high potentials than weakness-based and gap-based analysis and development are. Now, the challenge is this is not how we're wired or programmed. This goes back to those fear-based versus truth-based realities, right? Most of us have been wired, I sure have. When you see a weakness, when you see a gap, you are going to spend time, energy, money, resources to filling that gap and to moving that gap forward. Think about what we do with kids, right? Or for ourselves, we've all experienced it, right? For that kid who is struggling in math, what are we going to do? We're going to get a math tutor and we're going to make them do their math homework and assignments every day after school, whether they like it or not, kicking and screaming, right? And we will spend time, energy, money until the math gap becomes a little bit less, a little bit smaller. Take that same kid. Might be a rock star at history. Loves it. Lives, breathes history. Are we spending money on a history tutor? Are we putting time, money, energy, resources to get that kid more access and more encounters with history? Probably not, right? I certainly was never brought up that way. Right? Most people that I work with, right? We are, in general, a gap-oriented educational system, unfortunately. However, in leadership, right, in corporations, there has been a tremendous move into strength-based. There has been a ton of research done over and over and over again. You have seen practically the difference between those leaders who invest in their employees' strengths versus those who invest in their weaknesses. And by the way, let me make a sidebar caveat for the child example that I just gave. This is not about not getting a kid to competence. Right, we'll talk about weaknesses in a second. But once you get to competence, then when do you spend your energy? Do you still try making that kid a math genius when you know, or perhaps you wish you're trying not to know, right? That really their skill and their strength and their superhero powers are in history. So just think about that. Just give an honest assessment of where you fall on that continuum. So strength-based, like I said, this is not just a nice to have, wouldn't this be great? This is where more and more organizations are going. This is certainly where distinguished and distinctive leaders are going. And why? Quite practically, right? Strip all of it away. My beliefs, my teachings, take that all away. You are going to get so much more out of the person who is feeling inspired, connected, at their best, being able to contribute what matters most to them, what is most meaningful, than you are of the person who feels crappy about what they're doing because it is hard for them, because there's a disconnect, because they don't understand the skill, because it hurts them, because they're embarrassed, because they don't want to ask for help. The list goes on and on and on, right? There was some Gallup studies done a couple of years ago. I find this research fascinating. It was well over 1 million people, 63 different countries, hundreds of organizations. All right. And people in the survey were asked, which do you think will help you improve the most, knowing your strengths or knowing your weaknesses? Most people, of course, said, well, I need to know my weaknesses in order to improve. Those who said strengths, small minority, were disproportionately more successful, healthier, happier, made more money over the course of their lives, more promotions in general across 20 success metrics, because they were tracked throughout their life, were disproportionately more successful. That same group of people were asked, do you have the opportunity to do what you do best every day? Needless to say, most people said no, sadly. Those who said yes, I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day, disproportionately healthier, happier, more successful, more money, more promotions, more experiences across 20 life success metrics, disproportionate success. This is not just a wouldn't this be nice, right? Strength-based leadership is where leadership development is moving. The progressive industries, right? Technology, startups, media, entertainment, like they're already there. Right? And then we've got industries that are following suit very quickly. So it's not just about, wouldn't this be nice? The research is showing us greater productivity, better health, stronger personal and professional relationships, but most importantly, better overall performance. Right? Because there's an impact when you start trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, and I cannot tell you how many people I see doing this. It drives me mad, but I get why it's there. Right? When we do a square peg into a round hole, what happens? Unhappiness, dis-ease, dread going to work, lower quality of life, bad interactions, unsatisfying relationships, right? Disengagement. I mean, the list goes on and on. We've all lived it. So just ask yourself that honest question: am I trying to fit a square peg into a round hole with where I find myself? We can't build a brand that way, right? What we're doing in our work together is cleaning everything out so that we're coming back to that place of strength. So for your strengths, I want you to think about a couple different dimensions. So typically if I were to ask you, what are your strengths? You would say, well, I'm a great communicator. I'm a good problem solver. I'm effective in client interactions. I'm really creative. You would start giving me a list that you've probably heard from other people tell you about yourself. That are functional strengths. All right, and functional strengths are great. They're important. They are what makes us good and different at what we do at work and at home and at life, and fantastic. And they are not the only dimension of strength that matters. Right, so we're gonna call these functional strengths your power strengths. Right, those are your points of distinction. Those are what set you apart because when you do them well, you do them in less time, you do them effectively, you do them consistently. Power strengths. All right, you might go back to some of your 360 reviews or performance reviews or general feedback you've gotten to get this laundry list of your power strengths. But it's not the whole story. Right, so this next dimension I want you to think about are your passion strengths. What gives you energy? What makes you come alive? When do you lose track of time? Right? Think back to when you're in your flow, right? When we say, oh, I was in the zone. What were you doing? Who were you with? What specifically were you involved in that moment? How were you doing it? That's going to tap into a completely different part of your strength database, right? What gives you energy? When do you feel alive? When do you feel inspired, connected? Go back to that centering exercise that we did in Foundation 1 around feeling that inspiration. And then thirdly, right, we have a whole nother dimension of strengths. Think about your purpose strengths, right? Purpose strengths are what the heck gives you meaning? Why you? What is it about your life and your purpose and your mission and why you want to do what you do that is distinctive? Purpose is that real underlying, I mean, we want to go back to values now, right? Purpose is that underlying thread of here's why I do what I do. So power strengths is sort of what I do. Passion strengths might be a little bit more of, hey, this is how I do it, or this is the type of stuff that when I'm doing it, wow. And then purpose strengths is much more this why. Right? Why do I show up at work? Why have I chosen this life? Why have I chosen this career? Why have I chosen this partner? Why have I chosen this spiritual practice? Why have I chosen this you know, group of friends? Anything. You literally can ask it for anything. So when you start seeing that these circles overlap, as you'll see in your workbook, when you start seeing that they come together, how do you start living at the center of these overlaps? Not at the periphery. What we typically tend to do is only live in our power strengths. We typically only live in what I'm good at or what my company needs me to do, or here's where I'm competent, or here's the skill set that the job description required, so I'll just do it. But what distinguishes managers from leaders and individual contributors for leaders, it's this. It's this passion. It's this purpose. It's that I'm driving you to action because I believe in something different, because you and I believe in the same thing, right? This is where the brand is going to start getting meat around the bones. This is when you start inspiring others. This is when you start moving people. So I want you to take a little bit of time, right? This is part of the work, right? This is going to be some of the pillars of our house, of our branding house. Identify these strengths. Be very clear. When have you brought them out to being? When have you hid them underneath the surface because you were embarrassed or ashamed or didn't feel comfortable? What were those milestones and those moments where you really saw them come alive? What is the feedback that you've gotten around them? What would your friends say? What would your spouse say? What would your kids say? What would your parents say, right? How do they see you? Make sure we start getting some data so that we're able to narrow down to the top two or three strengths in each of these categories. Because from there, we're able to see why you versus just, oh, what you're good at. So the challenge with only operating through functional strengths is they're replaceable. Everybody could say, I'm a good communicator. Everybody could say, yeah, I'm great at problem solving. I mean, the number of times I've heard that come up as the first strength, I start rolling my eyes. Okay, great. So you're a good problem solver. So what? Tough love, but it's replaceable. I don't want you being able to just be insert one, you know, eject the other. It doesn't make sense. A brand is about distinction, right? Distinction and distinctive focus. So adding and layering your purpose strength with your passion strength on top of those functional strengths, now we're talking about a unique, distinctive individual, a unique brand that is focused, that is clear, that is crisp, that is anchored in values, that is truly, truly distinctive. That's the work. Okay, so this is going to be an incredibly important pillar of our brand. So take some time, go into each of the circles, figure out what words or what qualities or what phrases or what dimensions belong in each of them, and then start seeing where are the overlaps. Oh, well, what I'm good at here is actually also connected to what energizes me. Well, that's great. So put it in the overlap of those two circles. Or wow, you know, for me personally, I'll give you my example. You know, my purpose is teaching. It's spreading this message of personal leadership and self-mastery to the world, but particularly to people who are in leadership roles in their organizations or in their lives, because they're going to have a ripple effect to other people. That happens to be a great overlap with one of my power strengths. I'm a good teacher. I'm good at articulating ideas. I'm good at motivating and inspiring people. And it happens to be an area that gives me a complete and utter energy. So it's my passion strength too. So that is my bullseye in the middle. That doesn't mean that I don't have additional strengths on the periphery, but when you can get to the heart and soul, that is the answer to not only what the brand is, but for some of you, perhaps what the career path is, or what the company looks like, or what I want to do next, or this difficult decision that I've been grappling with, how to answer it, right? This is where we start getting our answers, in the center of it all. And for those of you who are a little more cynical on this strength-based stuff, I want to go back to the weaknesses for a second. If there are gaps that are preventing you from going to where you are, from where you are now to where you want to go, that's a competency challenge. That's not a weakness challenge. So if you see a gap, I want you to get it to competency, and then I want you to move on. Because if you are struggling, let's just say, for example, that problem solving is a gap for you, okay? And you want to invest time, resources, energy, go take some courses. How can I be a more effective, consultative problem solver? Great. The challenge is, if that's a gap for you, you can spend all that time, money, energy. And let's say you're now a 4 out of 10. All that investment is probably going to get you to about a 5 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10 at best. And I mean that with so much love, right? Because I can say the same exact thing, you know, right back to myself. Now, I don't want you to be known as a 6 out of 10 on something. That's not a brand. That's just dilution. That's just boring. That's just replaceable. I want you to be known as a 10 out of 10 on something, as a 12 out of 10 on something. In order to do that, and in order to get to the heart of that, I need you to be spending that same time, money, energy, investment in your strength. Let's say right now you are an incredible communicator with clients. Now we're talking about the entry to a brand. That's how you start being known. That's how I start knowing when to think of you and when not to think of you. That's when I call you into new opportunities. That's when I open a door for you. Right? So just really embody this strength concept of personal leadership. Not so much as, it's so much easier to be thinking about my strengths. The same amount investment and energy is going in. It's just one thing is going to make you exceptional and one thing is going to make you ordinary. And goodness gracious, I want you to be exceptional. That's why you're here. That's why we're both here. Okay, so that's the first bit of work between now and next time we regroup. The second bit of work. I want you to also think about, and this will naturally come from your thinking about strengths, what are some of the achievements, milestones, accomplishments? What are you super proud of? And this is going to feel so uncomfortable for some of you, right? We can call it a brag list, a pride list. Like, what makes you super proud? When you look back, it could be something tiny, as in, I made that contribution to that charity, and I showed up and I volunteered that day, and that was a moment I'll never forget. Which is not tiny, by the way. Or it could be something as big as I got that master's degree, and I thought I would never be able to afford and to complete that certification. Or I won this award. Or I was the first person in my family to do this. Or I wrote a book. Or I wrote that poetry, I sang a song, I joined an improv class and I was so nervous and I tackled one of my top fears. Just look back, what are the milestones that have shaped you as a leader? All right, and I don't mean a leader, again, you know me, I don't mean a leader as in your functional role, I mean a leader in your life, wherever you find yourself right now, what are those moments in time that have shaped who you are? Please articulate that, write that down. Just get clear on what were the circumstances, what was I doing, who was I being, what happened. That's going to be integral data to then insert into the stories that we tell from our branding statement that we're going to work on next time. If you have a hard time, what I always do, start thinking about the challenging moments. What were some of those moments that you look back and you're like, oh, that was so grueling? But it really defined me. It really helped me transform. I really learned that lesson that I never, wanted to repeat again. That might be one of those milestones. It doesn't need to be the good stuff. This can also be the down and dirty, ugly stuff that we don't want to look at. but it's going to tell us something. The stories that you choose to tell are going to be distinctive when it comes to why your brand versus the neighbor who's doing the same exact exercise but has a completely different story. So these stories and milestones and achievements and accomplishments or moments in time are the vehicles that allow the brand to come out into the world. All right? So capture them. If you're stuck, just do the proud list, right? What you don't know about me, I am proud of da 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 da. Or what you don't know about me, these are moments that have shaped me. Boom, 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 boom. All right, capture that for yourself. That's going to be your next exercise. All right, then we're going to move into, I want you to start thinking about what are character qualities, right? So now we're kind of turning a corner into the branding space. What are the qualities of you that you're starting to see externally, right? So how we're going to back into this is think about what are the qualities that you admire in others, in brands, in bosses, in colleagues, right? When you're out in the world, wow, I really appreciate when people are able to speak their mind. Or wow, that person is so humble. That's a quality that really speaks to me. So I just want you to get a laundry list. These are the qualities that I admire when I'm looking out into people or into things or into experiences. These are some of the qualities. All right. And you might want to take it one step further and define that quality for you. So let's say, let's go with a humble example. You might want to define, what does humility mean for you? Well, that person was very subtle. They were gentle. They didn't speak about themselves. They gave credit where credit was due. Be very specific. Right, this goes back to values. Let's start defining these qualities. So that's another exercise I want you to do. Why this is helpful is oftentimes the qualities that we start seeing externally that we admire are either completely ours and are right in front of our face and we just haven't noticed that that's actually one of the things that I project out into the world. Or it's a little bit hidden underneath the surface, but has been very much craving to come through. And it's something that you want to be developing as your brand further and evolves. Another exercise, right? If you have a hard time with qualities or if you've done qualities, I want you to think about what are the brands that you buy often? Could be anything. Car brands, hospitality brands, food brands, music brands, anything, clothing brands, books, like what are the things that the companies / brands that you are a loyal consumer of? All right. So one of my favorites, Trader Joe's, right? My husband and I were always shopping at Trader Joe's. So one of the reasons, right? When I think about why do we do that? Why are we loyal to that brand? There's simplicity and ease. Right? When we walk in, we know exactly the types of products. There's quality. We love kind of the organic, low chemical, natural ingredients. Right? There's also the consistency of experience. We appreciate that when you walk in, you can depend that you're going to find good stuff. You know where to find it. The staff is always friendly. That friendliness really matters to us. That connection, that smile, that warmth that we feel. So I want you, for any brand that you can think of, write down the brand, and then next to it, right, why do you love that brand? Because of these following qualities. So that's what you experience when you buy that product over and over and over again, or that's what you anticipate. So what this exercise is going to show you, similar to the other, oftentimes the qualities that we're attracted to in other brands are ones that are literally aching to be expressed through our own brand. So just after you list the companies and the brands with the qualities or the reasons why, right? I want you to circle. What are the words that really jump out at you? Quality, dependability, ease, beauty, nature, simplicity. Right? Whatever words just pop out at you and say, wow, like that word inspires me, or oh my goodness, I really love that. All right, I want you to grab that word, circle it, and just make a note, because that's also going to be another quality that we're going to want to be using when we're defining the brand and when we're speaking about the brand. Another exercise to help you get to the same place. Again, we're looking at multiple things just from different directions, because one exercise might speak to you more than another. Start flipping through some magazines, actual tangible magazines, right? Start going through newspapers, magazines, books, right? If you prefer digitally, that's fine. Go online. But what I would like you to do, and why I prefer physical magazine, start ripping out ads, photos, words, anything that just jumps out at you, that feels a little inspiring, interesting, curious, that just makes you feel a little bit brighter, right? That just kind of raises your energy for a second. And then what I'd like you to do is see that compilation of ripped out ads or words or concepts or photos and just attribute some qualities to those. You know, start writing down. Let's say every ad that you ripped out had some type of red in it. You might want to put the word bold or red or bright, punchy. Right? So start attributing adjectives to the themes that you're seeing in the articles and in the photos, objects that are speaking to you. This is another really powerful way to get left brain, right brain aligned and not thinking about a brand, but actually feeling a brand. That's what this whole experience is about. We're going to create it again from the inside out, just intuitively what speaks to you. And another way, finally, and we did this a little bit earlier in the program, go back to when you were little. Think about yourself at 5, 6, 7, before the world told you that you're never going to make money doing that or you can't do that. What did you want to be? What did you want to be when you grow up? Who did you want to be when you grow up? What dreams, what inspiration, what things would you daydream about? Think back to when you lost track of time, or when you're in that flow and that zone and just pure child joy, right? Just exuberance. What were you doing? Who were you with? What were the qualities? Where were you? What were you thinking about, right? Just capture whatever comes. And again, this might not come in a coherent way. That's fine. Capture words, draw a picture. It doesn't matter. This is yours to create. That's going to be a very helpful reimagination of something that you've probably lost over time because we've told ourselves, no, that's not okay. Don't do that. That's silly. You can't do that. But now that we have our new set of values, now that we've got our dimensional strengths and this entire qualities inventory with the stories of our achievements, we've got all the components of the brand. We've got everything. That's the good news, by the way. A lot of the hard work is going to be done after your excavation of this next homework module, right? We've got all the raw pieces. Now we're just going to be threading it together, creating the underlying story, seeing where there's, where do we replicate it over and over and over again? Because that's telling us, there's the brand. There's that distinct value proposition. So another thing that I would invite you to do is revisit your personal leadership mantra. I know you've been using it. I know you've been practicing the power of pause. And instead of reacting, you're creating that leadership space. You're breathing. You're doing something physical to then be able to respond, right? And you're inserting that personal leadership mantra to change the entire trajectory of the thought, right? Don't lose sight of that. That needs to be done throughout our process because we're creating a new habit. And a habit that's been with you for so long is going to take a little bit of time to reprogram. So just stay really true to that. Make sure at least a couple of times a day you are saying that mantra to yourself. Perhaps by now you've made it into an object or you've written it, as your screensaver. You've put it on your phone. You've put it on the mirror. Put it somewhere where you are seeing it, living it literally day in and day out, right? That's what's going to help us rewire that old programming. So what I'd like you to do is revisit that statement. And after you've done the exercises for this week, the strengths, the qualities, the brands you love, I want you to consider shifting the personal leadership mantra, or rather building on it, into a personal leadership philosophy. So call this maybe your personal mission, personal philosophy. I have some clients call it kind of words I live by, what I know for sure. Right? Doesn't matter what you call it, but it's essentially a more evolved version, right? So the personal leadership mantra is for your mental habits. This is now going to start being more external facing. Hey, these are words I live by. This is my truth. This is my compass. This is my general leadership philosophy of how I want to be leading my life right now. Take a stab at that. And I understand I'm asking you to create something out of nothing, but trust that you have all the qualities and all the things written in your journal and your notebook. You've already done the hard work. Now it's choosing the words or the feelings or the embodiment, right? That's why we did that centering exercise earlier today, right? What did that self 5 years from now tell you? What do you know to be true today? What can you believe as a leadership philosophy and a personal mission or the words that you live by to get you from where you are today to where you're going to be in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever the time frame horizon is that you have in your mind? I'll share with you mine. So you know that my personal mantra, right, was about service. So that was very much who am I here to serve today? Or embody servant leadership, right? I change the words now that it's become ingrained in me, depending on what the situation is. I evolve it. But it's something around who am I here to serve today? That's what gets me out of any type of ego confusion, right? That's what centers me. My personal leadership philosophy, you know, the kind of the words I live by, my personal mission is evolved from that. So I have an equation. I like lists. I like words. I like bullets. So I made an equation for myself. And mine is to find kind of my happiness, joy, centering, whatever you want to call it. I have three things for right now that matter. Simplicity, being bold, and self-love. Those are the three dimensions that when I put them together, elicit happiness. Right? So how I define it, and I literally have a big printout that I take wherever I am, and I've got a big version of it right in my desk where I work, right? So simple. Simplify my choices, my work projects, my lifestyle, what I filter in and out, say no when I mean it, allow ease, flow, and joy to be my compass. Plus, be bold. Be bold in how I show up in the world, speak my truth, let my inner Leo and pilot light shine. Plus, love myself, right? The self-love pillar. Love myself deeply by honoring my body, heeding my feelings, listening to my intuition, being kind and gentle to my spirit and my soul. Right? So that's just me. Yours can look like anything. It can be an object, a phrase, a poem, a quote. It's just some words that start becoming more action-oriented, because at the end of each day, I can check in with those three statements, simplicity, boldness, and self-love, and ask myself, was I kind to myself today? Did I go to the gym? Did I make that choice simple, or did I make it harder than it needed to be? Was I bold? Did I speak my mind, or did I shy away from that? Did I say no when I meant to say no, or did I say yes because I was afraid to say no? So you want your personal philosophy or your mission to be something that you can track and say, how am I doing? Yours might be a question, right? Am I living in alignment with my three values? Great. Or it might just be your three values blown out into that very practical mini development plan, like those two or three things that you know you can do to bring that value to life. So I just invite you, this isn't necessary for our branding work, but I find it a very powerful fuel to get us to the brand in a crisper and more authentic way. So create that personal leadership philosophy for yourself. Wordsmith, play with it. This is something that can evolve. I don't need you sticking to one word like we do with the mantra. Play with it. Allow yourself to go there. So as we come to the end of our call, you really have your work cut out for you this week. This is the most intense of all of our weeks in terms of the time and the number of exercises. So choose, right? This is all about choice. Where do you want to invest more time, less time? What really intrigues you? What do you want to let go of? right? So really thinking about the multiple dimensions of our branding house, the qualities that matter to you, the strengths that are the glue that stick it all together, right? That pride list, that brag list, what are those milestones, achievements? So work through your notebook, continue reflecting in your journal, and I will look forward to us pulling it all together next time in terms of starting our branding statements and how we're going to share that brand with the world. So thank you for your time, for your presence, for your energy, and I will see you next week.